Bienvenidos a Canal 9. Me llamo Brian Keller.
Y yo soy Daniel Fernández.
Y esta semana, mucho, mucho news.
Sí, ahora estamos hablando de Windows Phone
sí,
número
sí, sí,
8.1.
And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And this is the week that people can start to get Windows Phone 8.1.
Yes, this is super exciting. So it's now available, Windows Phone preview for developers. And you actually have it installed, right?
I do have it installed. I installed it as soon as I saw the mail go out. So for developers, you may be aware that there's an app that you can install on your phone. I can't remember the name of the app right now.
You have to opt in.
It's an opt-in experience. So this won't be available to my mom just yet, but it is available if you are a developer and you've opted into this experience. And the idea, once I find the name of the app here, is that you can get Windows Phone 8.1 before anyone else can, and you can start testing it out with your applications. It's called Preview for Developers. So if you install Preview for Developers, you can opt right into that. And it's really great. You know, it did take about 30 to 40 minutes for me to download and install this app, download and install the update. So you want to keep that in mind, make sure you're plugged in, have a full charge.
Now, your existing apps still work?
My existing apps still work. I did find on day one, I did find some problems with some apps, but the great news is that those apps were actually updated. So things like, you know, the Bing apps and the Maps apps were updated. The game app was updated later that day. So one of the cool things that they did not talk about at Build, there's actually a lot of things that they didn't talk about at Build yet that you'll find as you go through here, but one of them is you can actually enable auto updates for your apps. I know it always goes, it drives me crazy when I see my wife's phone and she's got like 6 updates. Are you really bad about this actually as well?
My wife is the worst.
Yeah.
Like when she downloads her machine or turns her machine off, Windows update.
Yeah, it takes forever.
She did the manual stuff.
Yeah.
Downloading 80 updates.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
So you can turn that on. There's lots of, you know, really nice fit and finish updates in here that we haven't seen at the Build conference. Like the calendar view is really nice. Definitely check that out. Cortana is in here. Of course, a lot of people saw that.
Cortana, baby.
Yeah, so you can check that out. And that actually brings us into our next story here, which is...
Yeah, so MSDN voice search. So the idea is, hey, Cortana is a contextual platform for it. It's not just, you know, a simple speech grammar. It can actually know things and intent. So wouldn't it be great if, hey, developers, how do I actually start using Cortana and actually build a way to use the features of Cortana for my contextual search? So the folks actually enabled you to search MSDN using your voice.
Nice.
And it's available as a code sample.
Very meta.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually, what happens if you search for the MSDN voice search sample from Cortana?
The internet just explodes, I would imagine. I haven't done it yet.
Cannot do a circular reference. Please try again. So
that's a terrible Cortana impression.
Let's hear yours.
Okay. No, I'm not going to go there.
No, we have time. We'll make time.
So what is the Windows Phone 8.1 developer power tools?
So, Brian, in the context menu, which you can see here, tools, Windows Phone 8.1, developer power tools. So the idea behind this is it really has three different pieces to it. And it should be, this is why it's a little confusing. There's Windows Phone Power Tools, these are developer power tools. Application Verifier, so if I'm writing C++ and I want to see things like memory corruption or potential security issues where you're, you know, doing bad things with pointers, there's actually an app verifier that can scan your code and detect those.
Static analysis.
Next is a performance monitor. So that actually captures the real time, and this is basically CPU and memory use of your application. So you're going through your application, you see it, and that's specific to a process. And then the next one is the performance recorder. And the reason this actually allows you, like if performance monitor is really how your app is performing, performance recorder allows you to record everything going on the phone, right? So if you have like a background task and it does one thing and something else, you can really get sort of a more holistic view, and it records the logs, and then you can actually record them and say open them up in the performance tools.
I'd imagine that'd be nice if your app, for example, is making a call over to Cortana to do a bunch of voice processing for your application. That could potentially slow the whole phone down, right?
Yeah, you have some background tasks that's looking maybe to send notifications out. There's just a number of things where you want to have this more of a holistic view on what's happening in your application.
Nice.
So very cool, and definitely something you get through. And again, it's just from the tools window.
Right. So back by popular demand, this is one of the top user voice requests. This is the Visual Studio installer projects, bringing back the installer project to Visual Studio.
Set up an deployment, Visual Studio installer, baby.
Yeah, so this has been missing since 2010 was the last version that this was in there. And so they've brought it back, and this is a preview that you can download today. And they did want to make it clear that the install shield experience is going to continue to exist within Visual Studio through our partnership there, but that for folks that really like the kind of classic Visual Studio installer project, this is back. So they want your feedback. They want you to download it and check it out. Friend of the show, Tony Goodhue, writing that blog post and leading this effort. So exciting to see this come back. A lot of people wonder when they make a comment on User Voice if it actually is paid attention to. And we really do spend a lot of time taking a look at those suggestions.
Yeah, we just talked about Emo's post last week on all the stuff the .NET team was doing.
Yeah,
based
absolutely.
On user suggestions.
Yep.
So Intelligent System Service, this is really Microsoft's Azure for Internet of Things.
Okay.
So the idea is, hey, look, whether you're inside an enterprise and you can imagine, you know, there's a number of these different devices that are sending data out. So how are they going to do that? You want to make it not have a proprietary protocol. You mm-hmm. want to have it a way that you can reuse code. You want to have it a way that you can secure the connection. Mm-hmm. And making that uniform and actually work across all the different devices.
Right.
Right. So that's really our intelligent system service. And then once that data is in there, what things can you do to glean information from it and then start using all the power of
big data and
exactly for Azure for data processing.
Got it.
So lots of stuff to check out here. But if you're doing all sorts of different scenarios, like even you know the delivery trucks, right, optimizing their path and sending out GPS information and perhaps doing other times, right, which is based on this information, everybody's late on this highway, switch highways.
Yeah.
You know, and really, again, it drives back to business value.
Or just go home because the traffic everywhere sucks, which is more likely the case with my...
Way to give up, France.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we just alienated another country from our audience.
Great.
This is debugging deeper through reference source. So you know, for quite some time we've had...
This is a picture of us, right?
That is a picture, yeah.
I think I was the one just straight falling. So I don't know if I got captured.
Yes, I think that's probably what happened. But this is a really great post that actually goes through step-by-step what you need to do as a developer within Visual Studio to make sure that when you're stepping through your source and you want to step into the .NET Framework source, how can you make sure that Visual Studio is set up to do that? So there's mm-hmm. some specific settings you need to turn on, like support for symbol servers and reference code. And of course, my code has an impact as to whether or not you do step through code that's existing in the BCL versus just staying within the code that you wrote.
Right.
And so this
JMT,
is just
my code.
Yep, exactly. So so this is just a really good post. It's very comprehensive, and it's a good way to get started understanding how you can take advantage of the source code that's available and published by Microsoft.
Cool. So Soma has a blog post on our newly announced Python tools for Visual Studio. This is 2.1 beta. Mm. So some of the key things here are that customers have been asking for is the ability to install on Express for web and Express for desktop, right? Because you may be doing applications. And to give some context, this is a free set of tools mm-hmm. that's completely open source, available on CodePlex, that enables people to build Python applications, whether they be web applications using a popular framework like Django, or you know, it's more the math computation side where you're you know maybe dealing with something, or even on the artistic side, as Rick would say, like there's a number of interesting graphics applications that are using Python.
Hmm.
So all the tools are available, and the nice thing is the integration is awesome for Azure as well. So when you have that Django website and you want to be able to publish it, tools are built in to publish. And there's just some great comments on folks saying just how easy it is and how these are like people's favorite Python. Like when they have to use Python, like they will use Windows just to make sure that they have the tools, even if they're on other platforms.
That's great. Very good. Good to see. So what's this Smart Glass app that was previewed at Build, right?
Yeah, so Duncan and our friends at Identity Mine actually showed off the Xbox One and Smart Glass app for Chinline. So it's not available right now.
Okay.
But the idea is you have an Xbox app mm-hmm. that shows you your videos, and you can see kind of like the high-level preview. But probably one of the coolest things is the Smart Glass app integration as well. So Channel 9 has had sort of the automated transcription. So on the Smart Glass app, it actually, and you'll see this in the demo, as you're talking, it's actually updating what text is being said and highlighted in real time.
Mm.
So it's that's pretty awesome.
And so because it supports smart glass, I would imagine you can use your phone on your couch to actually control everything if you
right.
want to.
Okay. Right. So there's obviously a number of cool things that you can imagine. So I'm really excited to see this come out so you can watch all the build videos on a big screen.
That would be sweet.
So, but you can today using just IE.
Using just IE on Xbox 360 or Xbox One, right?
I've used it on 360. I haven't tried yet on Xbox One, but I have to assume they didn't break things.
Yeah, I would hope not. So speaking of watching all the videos from build, John Galloway actually had this great post where he's been kind of going through a lot of the build videos and saying, you know what, there's got to be a better way to do this. So mm-hmm. he tells you how to download all the build videos from Channel 9, which realistically you could apply any of his techniques here to any of the videos on Channel 9. So if you wanted to catch up on all of the 250 plus episodes of Dan and I doing this week on Channel 9, I'm sure you can go do that. But this also shows you how you can watch these faster. So if you wanted to watch the build videos, you know, 10% faster or 20% faster so you can more quickly and efficiently consume the information, this is a great way to do this. So I wish this was around back when I was in college because I used to watch a lot of my lectures on video and it would have been great if I could just watch everything.
Doesn't Windows Media have play speed?
It does. So you can use Windows Media for this. But John had a preference here for using VLC for some reason. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So good question. Brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week!
It's like you're playing Risk here.
Yeah, so this is actually by the folks at Caper Sky, so let's actually show demo.
You're not plugged in, dude.
I can't show demo. Oh, well. So what you would see...
Yeah.
What you would
imagine, if you will.
Imagine, if you will. The ability, it's a globe, and what you actually see are the different attack points, and there's obviously like what the different colors mean mm-hmm. in terms of the types of attacks and the things that are being scanned and so on. But Kaspersky is a well-known antivirus company.
Kaspersky? I think it's Kaspersky.
This is going to be another one of those. Great.
Exercise for the viewers.
It could be either.
Yep.
The point is you can see all in real time what's happening and even like how many attacks there are per country. And it's just a beautiful sort of visualization of exactly what's happening in the world.
Is this actually what's happening or is this just a simulation based on historical data?
No, this is actually what's happening because remember, their scanner is actually connecting to them and telling them, hey, I need to do a real-time check or a real-time threat, or hey, I need to kick off a scan. So they know this information and know what's happening, and then they can do the hey, I just saw a virus here, and start connecting lines and dots.
And so what are the most attacked countries?
So U.S. was number 2.
We got to get back
in the
game.
We're number 2.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see who number 1 was. China was like number 8.
Well, but clearly it's Vatican City, I would have to imagine.
You think it's,
number one.
Yeah, Vatican City. Brazil's number 9, I got it over here running. So, lots of fun to play with.
Yeah, definitely. It's a cool app, too. What is that written in?
Right click?
Anyway, exercise for the viewer.
Exercise for the viewer.
Brings us to my pick of the week, which is my, you know, self-promoting the latest and greatest book in my series. So this is Professional Application Lifecycle Management with Visual Studio 2013. Really pleased to see this get published. And we added on 2 new authors. So previously it was Mickey Gousset, Martin Woodward, and Brian Keller, myself. Now we added Martin Hinselwood, so another Martin, and we added Brian Randall, so another Brian.
Oh, Brian Randall.
Still just Brian. One Mickey, though. So if you know any Mickeys who are subject matter experts in ALM, we have an open slot.
You just want to make sure things are even.
Yes, exactly.
Now, there's only, apparently the life raft only fits 4, so who's drowning? I guess Mickey.
There's one person taking the photo, so that's why. That explains it. But we finally made it off the boat. The last few books were all on the river.
I remember the one that was underwater. That was horrifying.
Yeah, exactly. 2005 wasn't a good year we like to talk about. But anyway, check out the book if you like. It was fun to work on this experience again, and it adds, of course, things like release management and a lot of the new DevOps capabilities that we've added since 2012. So we will see you next week.
Thanks.